This is a Christology podcast.
Jesus!
People say that all the time. Jesus Christ. Christ means the anointed one. I call it King. That's what N.T. Wright uses to translate his name. Christ is not his last name. It's a title. He's the anointed one. But what we want to talk about today is why, when, and how people, me, you, all of us, at some point or another say, oh my God, Jesus, God. You know, it's because we're calling on him.
Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. It's the most inopportune, ridiculous moment to do that.
Yeah, like your mom came out of her room, stepped in dog crap and said, Jesus Christ. It's what happens. We want to be real and talk about what happens. So let's pray. God Almighty, we praise your name. We thank you that we're here, that you call us to know you, Lord God. And that's what we're doing, is answering that call as best as we can with our lives. And to do that, we want to know who you are. And you sent Jesus, your son, to show us that. So that's what we're seeking. We believe, help our unbelief. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, yeah, we just want to talk about that. And, Laura's going to get us going.
Yeah, so we're always trying to figure out what we should talk about. And, the incident with stepping in the poop kind of brought on some memories for Dave. Yeah. Not about that. We have too many of those stories because we've always had dogs. But anyway, so the title of this is The Total Parachute Malfunction, High Altitude, High Opening. And Dave has had this experience and was truly a Jesus moment.
Yeah. So again, why we do this podcast, the whole thing, the Christology podcast, as we started, I realized people said, well, you know, so that's not about Jesus. There's nothing outside of this question of who Jesus is, because scripture tells us that through him, by him, for him, everything was created, made, you know, in John and Hebrews, all over the place, Old Testament, New Testament. The whole story is the story of God creating us and bringing us to eternal life with him, the redemption process. So this all ties in. And yeah, so it's, Laura, you were there at the unit. You never went to Halo school.
No, I didn't even go to airborne school. I was getting ready to go, and getting really off topic again here, but I was out running, trying to prepare, and I would go running like super early in the morning because there's like one main road that went into our compound.
When you weren't road marching, you
stop. Another long story, or short story, but embarrassing. Anyway, so I would go running in the morning because I ran slow, and I'm just not a super athlete ever in my life. So I was running, and I tripped over a rock. I'm not kidding. It was like, you know, the size of a quarter. I tripped. I fell.
What'd you say?
I probably said, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm sure I did, but I tripped and I fell, and like I did this complete somersault and landed back on my feet. And I looked to the right, and there's a field where a bunch of people were doing PT. And so,
what kind of people?
Regular Army people.
Oh, I thought it was at the unit.
No, I'm going to explain that. Sorry. So, I was glad I pulled off the tumble, but that wasn't the embarrassing part, like whatever. So then I turned around and I started going back to work, towards work, and I knew I did something to my ankle, so I was kind of walking, limping. But every time a car would come, it was dark, you know, so you'd see the headlights. I'd start running again because I didn't want to be embarrassed.
Right.
And so that's why I didn't go to airborne school. Such a long story for that.
But you did go out of a plane once, tandem with somebody, so you know the feeling.
I've done that a bunch of times, and it's not as good as the first time. And then I was also the test dummy for the unit. I got to tandem a lot because people needed to practice, I guess.
So you've been out the door.
Yep.
You know that feeling, right?
Oh, it's so fun. Not hey-ho. Not at all. Not even close to that.
Well, you did free fall. I mean, 13,000 feet, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not many people get to do that. So anyways, this story, I've always wanted to tell it, use it for this reason. I went out, I had a horseshoe malfunction, which is the one that most often I believe I heard causes, ends in death, because it's a complete malfunction. You completely lose your chute. It's also called a line over. So I went out, Go ahead.
I was just going to say, how high were you? Was it dark? Was it light?
It was dark. We were training. So on training, events where you specifically for this, you do multiple jumps in a day, in a night. This was towards the end. It was at night. We were out west in the desert, to simulate the conditions. It was 25 or 18. I can't remember. We definitely had O2 oxygen. It was high.
Okay. For those who don't know, why do you have oxygen?
Because there's no air up there.
You'll pass out, right?
Yeah, you will pass out. And every 1,000 feet up, you lose almost 3 degrees of temperature. So it's very cold and thin air and you can't breathe. So
how cold? Just a rough guess.
Well, if it's 30 degrees on the ground, you're going to lose 25,000 feet, like 75 degrees colder than it is on the ground.
Wow.
Up there. So it's going to be below zero. And in the wintertime, it's way below zero. So it hurts, it's cold, and you need air. So I went out, and I had been jumping really well. Just, I'm not great at this by any means, but just doing it.
You said you were good at flying, like maneuvering your body. And
I could fly my body, yeah. I had no problem. First time, it was like, oh, this is cool. I love it. But, the Army takes everything fun and makes it suck. So you add some combat equipment and
cold.
And a rifle as long as me. And, the cold. Oxygen and night vision goggles. And went out and had this malfunction. I felt the...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I know this is the exciting part, but before, so you had oxygen, you had your rifle. Did you have a rucksack?
Yes.
Or what? And what else?
Yes. So there's a ruck.
And that's between your legs and has a drop line or?
It does. I had it front mounted. So you can mount it in the rear or in the front. And I think rear is how you start out. So I had done that a few times. No problem. I moved it to the front to try it. So I changed too many things at one time. I think I put my 338 Norma long rifle and move my ruck to the front, so I changed two or three things at once and so.
And usually you don't do that. You'll change one thing, do it a few times and then change something else with anything.
And there's people that went so further with this and jumped dogs and jumped bundles and things that I had no interest in. So, kudos to them. Like, tell your story, please. We want to hear it, but
Sure.
So I go out, it's dark, just getting light. It was like the last jump of, we had jumped through the night.
How many jumps would that be?
Three or four from the evening. So everything was going fine. Went out and so I go to pull, hey ho, high altitude, high opening. So it's hop and pop. You go out, count to five. Everybody's kind of flying in a row. You can see your mates in front of you. It's pretty cool. You're flying in a line, 1,000, 2,000 to five, wave off, pull.
Wave off means tell everybody
it's not so much of a wave off as a halo when people are stacked altitude-wise, but you're just, your left arm's going up, you're pulling with your right, and your parachute's coming out. I don't know exactly, but I think I was somewhat head down, my body posture, because as I pulled, my pilot chute went out. It's a big old spring that comes out first. You pull that. That flew out, and for some reason I felt it sort of, they call it a scorpion, I think. Like, it came back and wrapped around my ankle, and I felt the tether line of the pilot chute around my ankle, and it was catching wind. I knew what was going to happen. So I took a breath, and that it grabbed my ankle, and then my main parachute came out. My ankle's tied to all this, and whop. So I kicked. I felt the back of my right foot hit my helmet. And I don't bend like that. Not even close to that. And
we can laugh about that.
Whop. I somehow bent in half. And like, I'm not
backwards.
A bendable person. I'm stout. So it happened, and it was violent, and then it was, whoa, and then I'm hanging upside down.
And it knocked your...
In the air. It knocked my night vision off my face, so they're dangling and bebopping around. It ripped my oxygen mask off. It was very violent. It was, boom, because you're going 120 miles, whatever, an hour. And then it catches and then for that, you know, that thing to happen. So,
Then when that happened, were you like hanging upside down by your foot, or was your body still bent in half? Do you remember?
No, I was straight. It was, my ankle was up in the air. So one ankle is,
oh, right,
is tied to this whole line of
junk,
crap and destruction taking me to my, and a main parachute that is like swirling, just you know, like a balloon that's all the air has been let out of, and it's elongated and thin. And I'm just, you know, there's a little air in it. So I'm, but I'm going upside down, which is precisely when I said, and I knew when it happened that it was a parachute malfunction or a horseshoe malfunction, the worst. And so after it is when I said, oh my God, help, or God help. I can't remember exactly. I knew in my mind, I knew it was what I call the Peter prayer. God help, help. Immediately, like,
and you were a Christian at the time, so you believed it.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of, if you're drowning, if you're, imagine you're swimming, you got water in your lungs, and you've got one last grasp to grab onto something. That was the prayer. Oh my God, help! And then I laughed because I had just trained myself to laugh in situations like this where there's nothing else you can do but what you're about to do, which is a cutaway.
Before you do that, you said there were other people that were on this jump with you. Was there, I mean, did they see this happen? I'm sure they did, right? Or
yeah, I heard it on the radio. So
my
helmet was all fine. I had, you know, and I had radio. I heard it before I even, well, as I got it straightened out. So
I didn't know that part of it.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're hearing the prediction of your,
I mean, not as I'm going through it, but I'll get to that in a second. Like, okay. So once I'm falling, and I know what I've got to do, you've got to cut away your main parachute. Now, what I'm worried about is that this thing is wrapped around my leg. If you cut away, it releases your main parachute. It completely, this is how it's designed, it goes away. A split second after, or when you do that, your reserve parachute comes out.
Okay, so let me back up. So isn't there like a, what's the thing that slows you down initially? You don't do that.
That's
on
the pilot chute. That's what wrapped around my leg.
The pilot chute did.
Yes.
Okay. But you said your regular parachute was also.
Yeah. So the pilot chute was what wrapped around my leg. It pulled it up. And then when that thing catches wind, which it did after it pulled my leg up, then it pulls your main parachute out.
Okay.
When that happened, the pilot chute was probably going like this. It caused one of the lines that, you know, attached to the parachute to go over. It's called the Mae West. Because it looks like a bra. Mm. Mine was like one boob and a deflated one. I didn't even get two full boobs. So that's what it's called. And so it's just a, looks like all your laundry tied up on a rope spread out on top of you. And just being upside down was like so weird. And I remember looking at back at the plane, I could still see the C-130, you know, and I talked to somebody was on there on the ramp that saw it. And so I cut away, and that's, you know, oh Lord God help. And I laughed, and I felt like my hip had been disjointed, like a chicken bone. When you, if you take a chicken leg and thigh and twist it apart, that's what it sounded like and felt like. Mm. I thought for sure my leg was just destroyed. That's what it felt like. I was okay. There was nothing major, but, I cut away my main parachute, and the concern is that your reserve is going to get tangled in all of that.
Even though you cut it away.
Well, no, it happens at the same time.
Okay. Sorry if I'm confusing everybody.
It's okay. It is confusing. I can barely remember the process myself. It's been 12 years, but you pull the thing, the beanbag, whatever, to cut away your chute. Your reserve comes out automatically, I believe. And it happens at the same time. So my prayer, oh God, help. And I cut away. I'm here to talk about it. So it worked.
Yeah.
The whole mess went up. My reserve parachute came out, and now I'm up. I'm not upside down anymore. I'm okay. And I have a canopy. So it's like, whew, okay.
Sorry, I laughed. I'm just picturing all your crap all dangling. And
yeah. Oh, I know. It's a mess.
It's not funny.
All my other jumps were so good. Then, so I'm like, oh, you know, I'm looking at my chest and like, oh, okay, I think I'm going to live through this. And then I start to feel the signs of hypoxia, right? Mm. We go in the altitude chamber for that. So
you go in the altitude chamber to learn what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And my signs are nausea and lightheadedness. So I'm starting to feel those. And, oh, yeah, I need air. So I get my O2 mask on and I get some air before I passed out, thank goodness.
Hmm.
And that's when I hear radio talk. There's a malfunction, you know, just dudes calm as can be. I saw a horseshoe and, you know, my good buddy Caleb, I love him. Caleb, love you, man. I hear him and he's like, I see him. I'm going to, you know, fly around him or whatever he said. I don't know, but he stayed close to me and it felt so good to hear him say that.
Hmm.
He was way more experienced jumper than me. So I've got my canopy out. I've got air. I made my radio call, whatever my call sign, 3, always something 3. I'm good. I got a canopy. I performed a cutaway. Fly down, land, and just going to end the story there because it's boring after that. But
I mean, were you able to walk away?
Not really. More like a football field injury where the cart comes out and brings the guy.
Right. Okay.
You know, he's holding his face with tears because it's a mixture of embarrassment, pain, and shame. I don't know. You're just feeling all these things. But the point we want to talk about, the whole reason for the whole story is you just see this everywhere. You see it in the Bible. Laura, you want to talk about Peter?
Yeah. Just thinking about Peter and, you know, after they fed the 5,000 and, Jesus wanted to go and I guess chill out, you know, my interpretation, he wanted to go and relax and unwind from that, you know, really huge sermon. And, the apostles had gone out in the boat, the disciples, apostles, yeah, went out in the boat and, they had that big storm and they thought they were going to drown. And then, you know, Jesus walks out to them. They think it's a ghost. And Peter's like, well, if you're the real deal, then, you know, tell me to come to you. And so Jesus said, come to me. And then when Peter looked down, he started to sink because his faith was wavering. And Jesus is like, hey, you know, do you believe or do you not believe? And then he grabbed him and pulled him up. And
yeah, there's a scene in The Chosen that we wanted to talk about, the show The Chosen. It's so well done. And a note on biblical interpretation here, they do take some liberty and, you know,
in the show The Chosen.
Yeah, and they create scenes that aren't necessarily right in Scripture. But the thing is, the checks we do, does it honor the Trinity, our triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Does it honor the gospel or not break the gospel? And does it adhere to the creeds, which pretty much say all that, what we just said. But they do take liberties, and that's okay. God wants us to be creative and recreate things and write and talk and make movies. But how they do this is so cool. Laura, oh God, it's breaking my heart because of her recent TBI. She can't remember watching the episode, which was about 6 or 7 months ago. I mean, we sat there and watched it and cried together, and you can't remember it. It's so sad.
I'll watch it again.
So
yeah, it sucks.
Peter, in the show, he's just going through so much life, so much crap. He's, you know, with his wife and just hard life. And how they do it in the show is, and I always wondered this, like, I thought Peter just wanted to walk on the water to be cool.
Mm.
I mean, why else would he do it?
Yeah.
It's stormy at night. Like, are you, you know, trying to be Jesus? Well, the way they portray it, I think, is a lot more accurate. Peter had been through a lot. In the show, it's Pete. What I think, here's my conclusion. Peter is so done that he's ready to either die or know without a doubt that Jesus is Jesus, and that's why he says that. And what does Jesus say? Come on.
Yeah.
He's up for it. I love that. Okay, walk to me. Because Jesus knew he had the faith right then.
Yeah.
I bet if Peter would have said, you know, the day before, I'm going to multiply this bread and feed these people, Jesus would be like, go on. His faith was real right then. He was moving his faith completely.
Yeah.
His faith in Jesus' faith. So Peter was just done. He was with life. And he said, I'm going to come walk to you, Jesus. Come on. So he did. And then he did what we all do after that. I can't believe it. Hmm. Right? What we say when something great happens. Oh my God, I can't believe this.
Right.
And as Yoda would say, that is why you failed. Hmm.
If you haven't seen the Chosen series, it is so worth it. If you're not a Christian, like, watch it anyway. Like, it's amazing. And it really helps you with the Bible if you're intimidated by it like I was. The first episode is a little bit hard to get through, I thought. And other people I've talked to have said that too. So just hang in there or just skip it completely. I mean, there's some important stuff in there, but hang in there. It's really worth it.
It is. It's a really good show.
And then we were talking just a few minutes ago going over our notes. And Dave said, if he is God, what then? And I said, why is this so offensive to people? Like, why is it so wrong that we believe in Jesus and we believe in God and the Holy Spirit? Like, you know, what if you're wrong? What if, you know, it is true? Well, we know it is, but for those that don't believe.
And I think what people would say to that, all I know from experience is, well, look at the church, the modern church and all the examples, and they're right.
We're still people.
Very much so, and very broken.
Yeah.
Especially the modern church, it is. I mean, it's, yeah, it is. But that, don't let the abuse take away the proper use.
Right. The church is not Jesus. The church is not God.
The church is people
seeking,
you know, and religion is just people acting out what they believe. You can, your religion can be Alcoholics Anonymous. That's all I do is go to meetings, and religion is just your beliefs played out in life. But as long as we're moving our faith, we're going to make progress. We're going to get to the right point. Peter,
what
says,
did you call that? Before you do that, you called it Pascal's wager.
Yeah, Blaise Pascal, back in the day, some centuries ago. I don't know when it was, 1600s, maybe, I don't know, 710. But Pascal's wager was, he became a Christian later in life, I believe. But he said, it just makes more sense mathematically, obviously, to believe, to at least take the chance to step out and say, Jesus, are you real? What are you losing by that?
Right.
Some pride.
And the peace that comes with believing, and the relief that comes with believing. I don't understand why everybody doesn't embrace that. I know it's hard in the beginning, but wow, like, changed my life. I'm so much happier. And people who knew me before would be like, oh, you were always so happy-go-lucky. Not really.
Not deep inside. I mean,
no.
Yeah, it's based on life's accomplishments and, you know, that we think we're tracking, but.
Yeah. And then something else in our notes that said, why not lead into that preparedness now? If you really believe.
Yeah, that's the application.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you believe, and Milo and I were driving to school this morning, and this topic was on the radio. This guy was saying, nobody says Buddha when they hit their hand with the hammer, you know, whack Muhammad. Oh, they say Jesus, you know, as a curse word. And, oh, I want to clear up one other thing. You know, do not take the Lord's name in vain. It means something completely different than I thought, right?
Than I thought too.
Yeah. The word take, the Lord's name, in the Greek, is like to bear, like to take on and bear. So it means more, don't say you believe in me and then go out and live life like you don't, is what that means, as opposed to GD, the word I won't say, you know, I still, it doesn't mean just
feelings.
Yeah. Or, you know, Jesus Christ in a way that is, you're just trying to be crude and offensive. That's part of it. Don't take the Lord's name in vain, but it's so much more than that. It's, if you claim to be mine and you are mine, God says you're my son and my daughter when you believe, then carry that, bear that everywhere you go and with everything you do.
Right. No hypocrisy. That's, I think, what pushes more people away than most anything.
Yeah, and where there is hypocrisy, we just call it out, right?
Yeah.
Admit it. Our son just left the freezer open and hundreds of dollars of food is wasted. And Laura said, told him, and the first thing he went to do was make an excuse, and she stopped him right there.
Yeah, I said, just own it. It's not a big deal. We don't cry over spilt milk.
Rotten meat.
And rotten meat.
But we don't like it.
So yeah. It's
just own it.
It sucks, but let's own it and throw it away and drive on.
Yeah, and then we're sitting here talking about these notes and just, God, remembering, you know, buddies that died. I mean, Chris Nelms, 2014?
No, 15 or 16.
16, yeah, somewhere in there. I mean, our buddy Dan Briggs was there, and Chris had this, and, you know, it didn't work. And he landed and lived for several days, and then he passed away, and just serious, serious stuff. So the whole point of this podcast is, you know, if we're going to say the Peter prayer, Lord help, let's think about that. And why are we doing that? We're doing it because it's in us. God puts the hope in us, the faith and love that spring from hope, Colossians 1:5. It's built into us. So let's lean into that, push into that, discover that. What does that really mean?
Yeah.
It's changed our lives. We're not just saying that. I mean, I'm up here. I don't necessarily want to tell these. I don't want to talk about this military stuff because it causes ripples. People, you know, why are you talking about this? I am not doing it. Certainly not for money. We've spent so much money, we make none. That's fine. We didn't do this to make money. We did it to talk about who Jesus is.
Yeah, for so long, I've been asking Dave to talk about his stories because I didn't realize how important it was for any veteran or anybody who's had trauma. Like, you do need to talk it out. And so I'm proud of you for doing this, hon. And, you know, I know it's not always easy.
Thanks. I'm proud of you for getting up after you snapped your ankle and tried to run it off.
That was okay. Out of pride. That wasn't out of anything other than pride.
Pride's, you know what they say about pride. Yeah. I'm okay. Yeah. So, yeah. And the concluding statement, I think playing it safe is often the most dangerous path. Kind of half measuring it. Saying, I believe, that's great. I mean, that's the first step. You know, I believe, yes, I believe Jesus lived historically.
Right.
Philo, Josephus, there's records everywhere of this guy, Jesus, who said, you know, nobody denies that. The resurrection, over 500 people saw our risen Lord. So, you know, playing it safe in so many things with electricity, you know, you're going to just do it halfway, wire it.
No, just do
half
tape
of this real slow, right, and see what happens. No, you got to step in and really take a chance. You know, in the military, some people are called to be support. They know that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you're called to, you know, take something as far as you can, an athlete, whatever, give it all, you know. Life is ours to be spent, not to be saved. So let's do it with vigor because God gave us such awesome opportunities. Father God, we thank you so much for this day, for this time, for our lives. Lord, what are you thankful for?
Lord, thank you for these stories and this application coming into our hearts. And we praise your name, God. It's impossible without you. And so thank you for your son. Thank you for this Easter, and thank you for the resurrection.
Amen.
Amen.